Replicator Roulette by Android and Ale, read by Cookie Mom 6067. Chapter 1. Bees? Jim took another long drink of his rum-spiked vegan hot chocolate, beaming as his brother lied his way to winning another game of dreidel. He didn't always keep kosher, even at the holidays, but Pike's quarters still smelled like brisket and latkes with a sukkanyat tracer. It felt good to wear a kippah and mix company and enjoy the same meal his grandmother's grandmother made. This was the kind of holiday people only had in holovids. Sam set it all up during their last subspace call. "You're spending Hanukkah on the Enterprise. No excuses. I told Captain Pike that Mom used to order a full traditional holiday spread from Niedermeyer's for us every year, and now he wants to outdo them. Don't ruin this for me." Their bellies were full, the dishes were washed, and Pike's holiday orphans sat gathered around a bright silver triangle that only bore the faintest resemblance to a tree, with two Hanukkah flanking it, one candle lit in each. The ostensible tree was decked with handmade ornaments given to Pike by his crew and surrounded by wrapped presents. "All right, number one, I'm down 60 credits, so let's pause spinning the dreidel and get to the good stuff." Pike eagerly rubbed his palms together. "I've got three presents to hand out from one Michael Burnham of the Discovery." Jim saw Spock make a fist as his eyes closed. He took a slow, purposeful breath before opening them again. "You okay, big guy?" Jim leaned in close, squeezing his shoulder as he whispered. Spock's voice was barely audible. "I am in control of my emotions." He downed a surprisingly large gulp of his peppermint hot chocolate, glaring hard at the pile of presents. "Yours first." Una handed Pike a large rectangular box. He put an ear against it, picked it up and shook it, then tried to squeeze the middle. She kicked his shin. "Just open it already, you doofus." He laughed and ripped through the replicated blue and gold paper. Inside was a sapphire blue t-shirt with gold lettering across the chest, reading "Disco." The note reads, "I can still kick your ass, old man." Pike beamed at it before holding the shirt up to his chest. Jim leaned over to Sam. "Is he opening a dance-themed restaurant?" Pike laughed harder. "It's the standard issue workout shirt from the Discovery." "Imagine if they did that for the Farragut." Sam grinned at Jim. "It would just say, Far." "That's because unlike some ships, the Farragut explores the unknown," said Jim. "We actually work in space, unlike some crews whose only missions are exploring the buffets at diplomatic events." Pike and Una shot him simultaneously side-eye, but Uhura's face split into a wide grin. "You're just jealous you weren't invited to Crown Prince Hrothgar's betrothal ceremony." Jim lay a hand over his heart. "Not for lack of trying. I could have been your plus one. You know I would have shown you a much better time than your Gallimite date." "She likes him for his brain," La'an, Una, and Ortegas chanted in unison. The room erupted in laughter as Uhura blushed. Ortegas kicked Jim's boot. "Hey, if you wanted to do ship-based shirts on the Farragut, yours could say, Gutsy." Jim nodded, grinning at her. "I like it." "You should sneak those in your crewmate's stockings when you get home." Ortegas toasted him with her cinnamon fire martini. "Start a new tradition now that you're the XO." Jim waggled his eyebrows at her. "If you help me code it, I just might. I think Captain Garavit could get behind the crews wearing Gutsy t-shirts." "As long as you wear them far, far from here," said Sam. "Har, har," Jim rolled his eyes. Sam elbowed him in the ribs. "No, that's far, far, Mr. First Officer." Pike beamed at them both. "Don't think you're getting out of here without a present." He pointed to a large bowl of unlabeled plastic computer cards. "Anyone who doesn't have presents from folks off ship gets something printed on the spot from the Replicator Roulette stash." "It's mostly contraband programs confiscated from the crew," said Ortegas. "And screened for safety," added La'an. "I hope I get the life-size stuffed sellout," said Ortegas. "It takes 5 days to fully inflate, but once it does, it's big enough to sleep on." "Only if you're 160 centimeters, muttered Una. Ortegas stuck out her tongue. Una rolled her eye and blew her a kiss. Jim cocked his head to one side. "Is that a popular gift for Vulcan children?" "No," said La'an. The Ferengi used the toys as a decoy container to transport tribbles. I am a full-sized adult, Ortega shot Jim a playful glare. You are 16 ferrets in a trench coat, said Jim. Una hip-checked Pike as she topped up both of their mugs of mulled wine. He handed her a box for the Discovery. Inside was a matching workout shirt, this time in command gold with black disco lettering. Folded underneath it was a bubblegum pink racerback tank top with the word disco emblazoned in sparkly rhinestones. The final letter was shaped like a disco ball. A pair of sparkly rainbow disco ball earrings were folded inside it. Did she only send you one thing? Una reached for Pike's box. He pushed it away from her. Let's see what Michael sent for you, Spock. Pike's foot shoved his box under the couch as he leaned forward, holding out a slightly thicker package for Spock. The bespoke wrapping paper was a repeating pattern of Vulcan ears. Spock didn't take the box. I would prefer to open whatever Michael sends me in private. Who's Michael? Jim asked Ortegas. She shrugged, equally confused. Come on, Spock, don't keep us in suspense. Pike waggled, the present invitingly in Spock's direction. Una grinned over her mulled wine. Don't make this an order, Lieutenant. Spock gingerly took the box, staring at it as though it was an unexploded plasma mine. He turned it over, looking for a seam in the paper. It's replicated wrapping paper, said Una. All one piece, printed at the same time as the box and its contents. You have to dig in with your fingers and rip it. Spock let out a world-weary sigh as he casually ripped the entire box in half. Blue and black fabric with flashes of gold tumbled out. It would appear I, too, have been given a workout shirt. A whole workout outfit from the look of it, said Jim. He picked a pair of black sweatpants from the pile. His eyes went wide. The word prize was printed across the ass in bold 14-centimeter-high gold print. Spock's face went completely blank as he took them from Jim's hands and neatly folded them, hiding the text. Beside him, Ortegas picked up a science blue t-shirt and held it up so everyone could see the word ENTER emblazoned across the chest in gold. The Starfleet delta at the end of the word pointed suggestively downwards. Jim struggled to keep a straight face. Captain Pike, your new uniform options will certainly have an effect on crew morale. Ortegas draped the blue workout shirt over Spock's chest and picked another shirt off the pile. On this one, the front text was PRIZE in matte black surrounded by sparkly gold, with the center eye replaced by an outline of a Constitution-class ship. On the reverse, the word ENTER was positioned at the small of the back, outlined in the same gold as the front. The letter T was shaped like an arrow pointing down. This is not regulation, said Spock. The room erupted with laughter. What about these? Ortegas picked up a pair of science blue boxer briefs from the pile of fabric. The wide waistband was printed with ENTERPRIZE, 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 ENTER. Wrapped around it in repeating text. There's a little misprint, she giggled. The middle front was emblazoned with the word prize in extra large text just over the cup. The enlarged enter that was centered over the middle of the back included a surprisingly phallic letter T, once more shaped like an arrow pointing downwards. It looks like your boyfriend knows what he wants for Hanukkah, Jim winked at Spock. Spock glared at the pile of clothing. Michael is my sister. Oof, said Jim. That kind of family, huh? What did you send her? Asked Ortegas. Bees, said Spock. Ortegas and La'an exchanged a slow look. You replicated her bees? Asked Uhura. No, said Spock. Pike shot Una a look. She nodded faintly. I need to powder my nose. Uhura, want to come with? Before Uhura could answer, Una lifted her by the elbow and marched her towards Pike's bedroom. Uhura had her communicator out before they reached the door. The captain took a long drink from his steaming mulled wine. While they're freshening up, let's keep the party going. Sam, I have something for you from an Aurelan. Sam's eyes widened. How did you? According to our security logs, you've conversed with her an average of 4.2 times per week for the last 2.5 months, La'an looked smug. I theorize she was a spy, attempting to seduce you for intelligence about Starfleet, added Spock. But the captain suggested she might be your girlfriend. We, haven't put labels on it. Then this is probably a bomb. La'an passed the package from Pike to Sam. Let's all find out together. Explosive decompression would result in a rapid end to these alleged festivities, said Spock. Jim held up the boxer briefs. You're just jealous Sam has someone to wear these for and you don't. Spock attempted to pull the boxer briefs from Jim's fingers. Jim grinned at him, refusing to let go. Spock's eyes narrowed. Lieutenant Kirk is not welcome in my undergarments. Whoa, what the hell did I miss? Una and Uhura emerged from Pike's bedroom. Una looked relieved, whilst Uhura stared at Spock, wide-eyed and more than a little unsettled. Sam's girlfriend sent him a present, said Jim. Ooh, let's see. Una settled on the couch next to Pike. As Sam ripped the paper, she leaned in and whispered to the captain. Both of their eyes settled on Spock, who fastidiously ignored them. Pike pinched the bridge of his nose and sighed. Sam gasped as he opened his present. It's a museum-quality replica of a... He blushed and hugged it to his chest. Of a what? Asked Uhura. Spock eyed it critically. A rather explicit mating totem from the late archaic period on Lehanar 6. This one indicates a desire for specific sexual acts, many of which Lieutenant Kirk lacks the athletic prowess to complete. I specifically recommend against Spock, Jim squeezed his shoulder. I do not need to know what my brother gets up to in bed. I didn't need to know he'd ever got it up, said Ortegas. As far as I'm concerned, he's a Ken doll down there. Jim held a palm in her direction. Ortegas high-fived him. Una handed Pike her drink. She bent sideways, draping herself over his lap as she stretched to grab another present from under the stylized tree. It looks like Santa left something big for Ensign Uhura. Jim caught Pike's eye. He winked and subtly mimed a quick little spank. Sam put his hands over Jim's and pushed them down, glaring fiercely as color rushed to Pike's cheeks. Uhura took the large, unwieldy trapezoidal box. Ooh, it's heavy. I don't think this is clothing. She ripped off the paper, revealing a hard musical instrument case beneath. Her breath caught as she flipped open the latches. It's a lutungu. Her fingers reverently stroked the seven-stringed lyre. Music is another form of communication, said Spock. If you are amenable, we could practice together. You just want the crew to complain about someone else's playing, said La'an. I am confident Ensign Uhura possesses sufficient skill that no one will have complaints, said Spock. Uhura tore her gaze from the lutungu long enough to look up at Spock. This was your idea? Spock looked at Pike, who nodded faintly. I believe it to be a present from the one known as Santa, who got a little help in the inspiration department from a very special elf, Una winked. Uhura reverently placed her new lutungu on her chair. She lightly kissed Spock on the cheek. Tuesdays, after beta shift, we'll call it the Lyre Fire Hour. Spock's eyes twinkled as his mouth twitched up at the corners. I look forward to it, Ensign. All right, enough of this sappy stuff, said Una. Santa left plenty of other goodies under our tree. Pike grunted as he picked another box. La'an, let's see what the elves replicated for you. He shot Ortegas a questioning look. She took another drink of her cinnamon fire martini to hide her smile. A knife appeared in La'an's hand. She neatly sliced through the red and gold wrapping paper. Where were you hiding that? Ortegas's eyes went wide. If you have to ask, then you need a security training refresher, said La'an. She frowned at the contents of her box. It appeared to hold a copy of an outdated Starfleet Security Protocols manual and a snow globe of the Enterprise. She opened the worn-looking manual, only to find it a hollowed-out shell of a book with a thumbprint reader-style safe inside. She pressed her thumb against it, and it popped open, revealing a brightly colored stash of candy. La'an dumped the candy in her lap and ran her fingers around the perimeter of the safe. It's the perfect size for a phaser and half a dozen mini stun grenades. Santa knows you well. Una raised an eyebrow, staring at Ortegas, who stole a piece of the candy and popped it into her mouth, grinning. I don't get this one, said La'an. It's just a snow globe, said Ortegas. See, there's a little Enterprise in the middle. Spock and La'an stared in horror as Ortegas shook the snow globe. Is the ship being consumed? Asked Spock. Maybe it's a training exercise for children who live near asteroid belts. La'an turned the snow globe over in her hand, studying the white flakes as they collided with the ship. Indeed, said Spock. Perhaps the white substance is an acid, which will slowly erode the ship if the children cannot remove it from the sphere. An important lesson in time survival training, La'an nodded. Is there a prize in the base if you rescue the figures inside from the sphere? She tapped the bottom of the snow globe. Ortega snatched the snow globe, holding it protectively to her chest. It's all right, little Enterprise. They can't hurt you. Una once more stretched over Pike's legs in order to reach a present under the tree. He stared fixedly at the ceiling. This one's for you, Erica. Una tossed her a plain manila envelope with a bow taped to the top. Can I borrow your knife? Ortegas held the envelope out to La'an, who deftly sliced open one side before her knife once more disappeared, like it had been transported away. Ortegas slid out a 6-page document, her brows knitting together as she read. Congratulations, said Una. I didn't file that. No one knows. Ortegas narrowed her eyes. Why? Merry Christmas? Una shrugged. And now I have a little leverage on you. Pike leaned over and whispered in Una's ear. She nodded. Yeah, that's the incident. He whistled, shaking his head. When she stole the, said Uhura. No, Pike cut her off. When she rigged the, said La'an. No, Una interrupted. Ortega slid the file back into the envelope. Best present I could ask for. Jim leaned over, batting his lashes at her. You and I should be best friends. Please, no, Pike muttered, just loud enough for them all to hear. Sam reached under the tree. Instead of a hermetically wrapped, replicated present, he pulled out a standard-issue shuttle supplies hard case with a bow taped on top. He handed it to Jim. I got you a little something. Jim eyed him suspiciously as he opened the case. His face lit up, and he pulled out a quartet of collapsible 1-liter water purification bottles. Underneath, the case was packed tight with 2 flavors of ration bars. Jim lovingly ran his fingers over them, counting the bars. Spock raised an eyebrow. That must be at least 3 months of high-calorie emergency ration bars. 4.5, Jim hugged his brother. They discontinued the lemon cream and carrot cake flavors. Because they're disgusting, Sam hugged him back. I traded a few of our decent new flavors to get your gross old ones. I know exactly where I'm going to put these, Jim whispered. Sam tightened his hug and stroked the back of his little brother's hair. Una cleared her throat. Close up your case, Jim. This is a party. No one wants discontinued ration bars when they could have homemade petit-fours. She reached backwards for a tray, stretching like a cat, and sighed a little as her spine loudly popped. She passed the tray to La'an, who took a little cake and passed it along to Ortegas, who took 2 before passing it to Jim. Go on, Spock, give it a try. Jim held the tray in front of him. The petit-fours were coated in a thick chocolate ganache. Don't worry, I'll make sure to walk you home myself if you get so wasted you can't do calculus in your head. Ortegas caught Spock's eye and gave him a double thumbs up. He hesitantly picked the smallest cake before passing the tray along. Jim, I am not sending you home with nothing but a hard case full of discontinued ration bars, said Pike. It's time to make things interesting. Rattle your hand around in the replicator roulette bowl and let's see what gets printed up. Jim closed his eyes and dramatically rummaged his hand around in the mixing bowl before pulling out an unlabeled card. He reverently lay it in Pike's hands. The captain ruffled Jim's hair, gently smiling down at him before he headed to the replicator. Computer, if this is clothing, make it in a men's size large. If it's food, he frowned at Jim. If it's food, reject the cartridge and we'll find something else. The replicator's lights flashed double green. Oh, good. I'm not going to end up in another medical journal, said Jim. I still can't believe you ate something labeled generic hazelnut and cocoa spread, said Sam. You're allergic to every word in that description. But I love a good spread, said Jim. No, you love to spread. Sam felt all eyes on him. He snorted at Jim. Serves you right if you get a box of Enterprise stationery. I will use it to fake official memos across the galaxy, said Jim. I don't even need to copy your handwriting, Chris. All I need to do is smear the signature with a little marinara, and everyone will believe it came from you. The replicator beeped cheerily as the door opened, revealing a festive red and gold rectangle. Lightweight, said Pike as he took it out, and squishy. I bet it sucks, said Jim. He ripped the package open and something red tumbled out. This might be more La'an style. He held up a moisture-wicking robe in bright security red. It was wide enough to fit him in the shoulders, but so short the hem stopped right above his crotch. A familiar gold Starfleet Delta was embroidered on one breast. Underneath was a pair of matching red high-waisted tights with a gold Delta on the hip. Are you sure those are a men's large and not a girl's medium? Asked Ortegas. You got the new workout tights? Una clapped in delight. Jim stared at her incredulously. You can't be serious. The quartermaster will be distributing them after our next resupply, Pike sighed. Spock eyed the skin-tight red fabric. Is the goal to discourage exercise? Ortegas laughed. Hey, let's see the back. Any messages written on the ass? Jim turned the tights and robe over, but the only thing on either was the gold Delta. I think he should model them for us, Una winked. If I do, then Spock has to model his sweatpants, Jim grinned up at her, and Chris has to show us what he's secretly hiding in Michael Burnham's box. Jim, no, said Sam. Pike's mouth tightened into a sour line. Jim, Michael might as well be my niece. Una bent over to adjust her sandal. While there, she kicked Pike's box from under the couch. It slid across the floor. La'an grabbed it, ducking behind Ortegas' chair before Pike could intercept. Ortegas reached into the box and pulled out something small and shiny. Pike crossed his arms. Please put that back, Erica, now. A grin split Ortegas' face. I need to meet this Michael Burnham. She triumphantly held up a men's thong in shiny command gold with the words Captain's Log written boldly across the pouch. Uhura and La'an's eyes went wide. Una bent in half, laughing. Spock turned to Pike. I will comm you contact information for my B supplier. Does your sister work for the quartermaster's head office? Asked Jim. Between us, this feels like the new uniform designer at Starfleet is especially horny. Look at those tights. And these fitted uniform shirts are a bit... Jim tugged at the gold fabric snug across his chest. Man boobish? Ortegas waggled her eyebrows. Jim's gaze slipped to Spock's chest. It's like the side seam is pointing straight at people's nipples. I thought you boys were hacking the replicators to tailor them extra tight on purpose, said Una. My uniform isn't half as snug around the chest as Chris's, but then I saw the men on Starbase 12. Uhura whistled appreciatively. That station is known for its incredible views. Well, if you'd like a view of my ass, Etz, I'm going to refill my drink, said Jim. Jim dramatically swayed his hips to their catcalls as he circled around to Pike's kitchen counter. He leaned against it, watching how easily laughter filled the room. The Farragut was a good ship. His crew would kill for each other, but they didn't tease each other. They wouldn't plan a holiday party for the people who had nowhere else to go. They'd die for each other, but he wasn't sure they'd live for each other. He added shots of vodka and peppermint schnapps to four mugs of steaming hot cocoa, topped them all with Pike's kosher vegetarian marshmallows, and took his time walking back to the couch. He handed mugs to Ortegas, Sam, and Spock. You know, Spock, my ship's clock is a little off from yours. I've got a lot of energy to burn. When this winds down, you want to try on our workout clothes and have a sparring session? Spock looked scandalized. I would not inflict Michael's so-called sense of humor on anyone unfortunate enough to venture into the gym while we were present. Ortegas leaned forward, batting her eyelashes. You're really not going to model for us? These alleged gifts belong in the recycler. Spock stood up and suddenly leaned to one side. Jim braced a hand against Spock's hip and tried to push his body back to the middle of his center of gravity. Ah, I believe I am inebriated, said Spock. Any drunk confessions you want to make? Una's eyes twinkled. No, said Spock. I shall return to my quarters now, where I will endeavor to find an appropriate thank you present for Michael. Una and Uhura's eyes widened. Jim nodded at Una, then squeezed Spock's shoulder. Hey, big guy, before you summon more bees, why don't you and I play a game or two of chess, said Jim. This has escalated beyond bees, Spock said darkly. That wasn't a no for chess. Jim hastily picked up Spock's Enterprise-themed clothing as well as his own bright red workout tights and robe. I promised to walk you home if I got you tipsy. I'll carry these while you just hold on to the wall. Spock followed Jim to the door, his hand lazily dragging along the wall. The wall is quite smooth. I find the texture pleasing. Tell me all about it while we walk. Over the next 5 minutes, Jim learned exactly what composites the wall panels were made of, where they were manufactured, how they were installed, and a surprising amount of drama about two Enterprise repair techs who never replaced panels straight enough for Spock's standards. Spock paused outside his door. Did you actually want to play chess? Or was this a convenient excuse to leave the party without causing undue attention or distress? Why can't it be both? Jim grinned at him. The corners of Spock's mouth ticked up 2 millimeters. Come inside. Jim chuckled. I'm surprised Michael didn't write that across the ass of your pants. Chapter 2. Scheherazade. Spock's quarters felt like a Swedish sauna. The thermostat read 39 degrees and 8% humidity. Jim stared at the readout in sweaty disbelief, suddenly reminded that Spock wasn't just quirky, he was alien. The ship is so cold. Spock peeled off his uniform shirt. Beneath it, he wore a thick, long-sleeved thermal layer. He peeled that off as well, giving Jim a brief view of his muscular back before he pulled on a loose blue t-shirt. Many assume I am naturally antisocial, but as was the case tonight, I often depart otherwise enjoyable social engagements earlier than my companions so that I may experience a brief period of physical comfort before meditation and sleep. Sweat was already trickling down Jim's back, pooling just over the waistband of his pants. Spock, you have every right to feel comfortable in your quarters, but my Iowan ass is going to pass out from heat stroke before we finish a game. Of course. Spock's shoulders faintly sagged. Jim stared at the uniform shirt and thermal, both neatly folded and placed atop a pile of uncannily tidy, dirty laundry. You know what? I was about to suggest you dig out a parka before we head to the rec room, but maybe we could replicate me something lightweight to wear, plus a pitcher of iced sweet tea. Spock looked at the messy pile of workout clothing still in Jim's arms. Everything you are carrying is destined for the recycler. Would it suffice, despite the unfortunate decorative elements? Why the hell not? Jim laughed. You can honestly tell your sister you got a man into your underwear. He ducked into the bathroom before Spock could change his mind and quickly peeled out of his uniform, leaving it in a messy pile. The cool floor felt refreshing against his bare feet. He stared at himself in the mirror, naked, but for his kippah. What the hell are you doing? He whispered. Jim took off his kippah and lay it on the counter next to Spock's surprisingly large collection of gels and products. The image of Spock struggling to tame his hair into a perfect bowl cut every morning made him smile. He tossed the blue shirt reading Prize across the front onto the sink and turned on the cold water. While it got good and wet, he pulled on the Enterprise boxer briefs. Once the shirt was saturated, he awkwardly tugged the wet fabric over his chest. His pierced nipples hardened instantly. It'll probably be dry before we finish our first game, he said as he emerged from the bathroom. You have to promise not to move my pieces whenever I head to the bathroom to soak it again. Commander Kirk. Spock stared at the wet fabric clinging to Jim's chest and the unmistakable outline of the barbells piercing his nipples. Jim, his voice lowered suddenly, slow as syrup, was your offer of chess a deception crafted to secure an invitation to my quarters? Huh. Jim's head cocked to one side as he slowly said, Would you like it to be? Spock put down the chess piece he was holding and crossed the room to Jim. Erica has decreed that I am in what she refers to as my slut era. I am surprised to realize I am unperturbed by the designation. Really? Jim's eyes widened in surprise as he chuckled. Now, Mr. Spock, I'm starting to think you're the one who lured me here under false pretenses. If I had planned this, I would have already adjusted the temperature for human comfort, said Spock. I am embracing an unexpected opportunity. Or you hoped keeping it this hot would give me an excuse to strip, said Jim. Spock gently plucked at the hem of Jim's shirt. If you are still uncomfortable, you may remove more clothing. But then how would you know I'm a prize? Jim dragged a fingertip over the back of Spock's hand. This shirt has instructions printed on the back. Spock leaned in until Jim could feel hot breath against his ear. Do you wish me to follow them? Jim turned his head until their lips barely brushed together. Spock. The name was dragged out of him slowly as a warm hand slipped under the hem of Jim's soaked shirt. He slid his hands up Spock's strong arms resting on his biceps. With a strength he wasn't sure he possessed, he took half a step back, still holding on. Spock, how inebriated are you? Spock's luminous brown eyes bored into his. I am gratified that you asked. Now neither of us needs to awaken tomorrow experiencing discomfort regarding our encounter. Jim sighed. Spock, that wasn't an answer. Enough to embolden. He slid the hand already under Jim's shirt further up his chest, but not enough to impede consent. Spock closed the distance between them. Soft lips dragged over Jim's neck. He breathed warmly in Jim's ear. Do you consent? Jim's fist bunched in the fabric of Spock's sleeves. Fuck yes, he hissed. The words were barely out of Jim's mouth before Spock's lips were on his, plush and soft and full of promise. Neither of them had duties in the morning. This wasn't a rushed shore leave encounter or a desperate one after a bad away mission. They could afford to take their time. Spock's mouth was slow, leisurely, exploring with the same curious precision he would give a new species of cave moss. The fingers under Jim's shirt closed on a nipple. Spock teased the barbell, tugging it gently in his fingers. Jim felt Spock smile against his lips as he moaned softly. Spock's free hand glided over Jim's ass, mapping its contours. He gave it a gentle squeeze. Computer, over the next 20 minutes, gradually reduce the temperature to 25 degrees and increase the humidity to 15%. Jim paused in his attempts to push Spock's shirt up to his armpits. You'll get chilly. Not if you keep me warm. He tweaked Jim's nipple one more time, then pulled off the wet shirt. His hand hovered briefly as though he was going to toss it across the room onto the neatly folded dirty laundry. After a moment's hesitation, he kissed Jim's shoulder, then walked over to the basket, neatly folding the shirt as he went. He looked back over his shoulder and met Jim's eyes. Slowly, he peeled off his loose blue t-shirt. He kept his gaze locked with Jim's as he neatly folded the shirt and added it to the pile. Why do you fold your laundry before washing it? Jim was transfixed. Chaotic asymmetry is vexing. Spock slowly unfastened his pants, giving Jim a brief glimpse at the science blue briefs underneath. You could put the laundry basket in the closet. Jim watched as one of Spock's hands teased its way between his pants and briefs, sliding languidly over his erection. I would know it was there. Spock pushed his pants down his hips, taunting me. Jim licked his lips. He wanted to move, to touch, but his feet were locked in place as securely as if they were grav boots. His hands slid up his chest, fingers brushing over the nipple Spock had just teased, until it rested on the spot where he'd kissed Jim's freckled shoulder. Spock leaned his upper body back against the wall, watching him. One foot flattened against the surface as it slowly slid upwards, knee rising to his chest. A hand glided down his thigh, caressed his calf, and peeled off his sock. He repeated the process before folding both in half and adding them to the laundry. "I didn't think taking your socks off could be erotic," Jim breathed. Erica continues to share copious instructional videos about seduction in support of my slut era. Spock hooked a thumb in the band of his blue boxer briefs. "I am aware her intent is to embarrass, but the information has significantly improved my success ratio." The thumb in his waistband pulled his briefs down just far enough for Jim to see the top of one hip. He stared at Jim, eyes twinkling. "Are you going to take those off?" Jim breathed. "No," said Spock. "You are." Just like that, Jim's feet were freed from where they were locked to the deck. Compared to Spock's slow, gentle teasing, he was too fast, too eager. He didn't care. It only took a few short strides for him to sink to his knees in front of Spock. He kissed the creamy, exposed skin of his outer thigh as his fingertips slid under the bottom hem of Spock's skin-tight boxer briefs. The front was completely soaked, leaving a wide trail of lubrication dripping down his inner thighs. Jim's hand slid up the wet mess of fabric, caressing Spock's thighs, roaming over his hips, until fingertips peeked up from beneath the waistband. He flipped his hands over, hooked his fingers on the saturated briefs, and pulled them down. Spock ran a gentle hand over Kirk's hair as his briefs fell to the ground. He stepped out of them as Jim reverently ran his hands over the outside of Spock's legs, back up to his hips again. One continued up, fingers twirling gently in the soft hair, trailing down his abdomen. The other closed around the base of Spock's cock. Spock sighed, his eyes fixed on the soggy underwear. Jim rested a cheek against Spock's thigh and laughed before handing them up so Spock could fold them and put them atop the laundry pile. Jim had taken enough laps around the space block to see a Vulcan's cock before. Spock's verdant green member was at least 23 centimeters, making it a significantly heftier than most humans, but mercifully smaller than the average Vulcan's. There were no balls to play with since Vulcan testicles were internal. A viscous lubrication that smelled sweetly of honeysuckle steadily trickled from his genital slit, coating his thick shaft and dripping down his thighs. Jim licked his lips. This was going to be messy. "I think you put on that striptease so I wouldn't see how much you soaked your pants when this bad boy burst out of your slit." He dragged his tongue up from the base over the double ridges until his lips teased the head. Spock's fingers tightened in Jim's hair as his tongue took lazy laps around the head. He slid it into his mouth, enjoying the floral sweetness. His own erection throbbed against the tight elastic of his borrowed briefs as he slowly took Spock a little deeper every time his mouth sank back down his cock. His fists tightened around the slick base, and he stared up into Spock's eyes as he took him deeper into his mouth. "Jim." Spock's moan went straight to Jim's already aching cock. "How do you like it?" Jim slowly pulled off Spock's cock. "Like you said, follow the instructions printed on these briefs." Spock's hand closed around Jim's fist. He dragged it over his shaft, gasping a little, his fingers twined with Jim's as he reluctantly pulled them off. Jim let himself be led by the hand to Spock's bed. The duvet was soft, waterproof material, Jim knew from the multipurpose tarps on in-away mission kits for high heat, high humidity environments. Spock could hang it in the sonic shower for 2 minutes, and it would come out perfectly clean and dry. "Query," said Spock. "May I take a hollow of you from here?" He lay a hand between Jim's shoulder blades. "To here." The hand slid down Jim's body, stopping just over his knee. "I appreciate the anonymity," said Jim. "But I've got to confess, I'm surprised you're the kind of guy who likes to keep souvenirs." "I intend to send it to Michael," said Spock, "as thanks." Jim laughed. He'd never heard the word thanks said with more vitriol. "Well, if you're going to gross her out picturing her brother getting laid, we should make it good." He rolled onto his belly and reached back, pulling one side of the briefs down just far enough to show one of the dimples of the small of his back. "Make sure the word enter is pointing in the right place." Spock hitched the waistband a bit to the left. His hand slid down, following the direction of the arrow shaped by the T in Enter. He teased a slow circle over Jim's hole, his hips arched, grinding his cock into the mattress. "You better take that picture now," Jim growled, "because these aren't staying on for much longer." They did, in fact, stay on for the next 10 minutes, as Spock adjusted the lighting and angles. Jim tried not to laugh as Spock tugged his body into different positions. "Well, now I want some pictures from the front," said Jim. He rolled onto his back and smiled up at Spock. One hand slid over his chest, leaving a pierced nipple peeking between his forefinger and middle finger. The other hand slid under the briefs. He arched his wrist to make the word "prize" on the waistband pop as he cupped his now merely half-hard cock. "These are going straight onto my base buddy's profile." Spock raised an eyebrow. "What if I am an unskilled photographer?" "Ortegas and I will mock you mercilessly as she tries to figure out what those blurs are." Jim grinned up at him. Spock set the camera on his nightstand. "If you intend to share details of our encounter with my crewmates, I must ensure you leave a favorable review." His hand slid along Jim's jaw, the thumb gently stroking his cheek. Spock's mouth met his for an eager but unhurried kiss. Jim impatiently pulled him down onto the bed and rolled on top of him, grinding their hips as he impatiently smashed their mouths together. He sucked on Spock's plush lower lip, demandingly explored his mouth as one hand roamed over the soft black hair, generously covering his chest. "You're a fucking tease," he growled. "Yes," said Spock. "That is indeed the subject of my alleged teasing." "Alleged?" Jim huffed. "Alleged implies a lack of action." Spock flipped Jim onto his stomach, "whereas I intend to act on my stated intentions." He kissed a slow line down Jim's spine until he reached the waistband of the briefs. Hands roamed over Jim's cheeks as Spock's teeth closed over the waistband, playfully tugging it downwards. Jim laughed and reached down to slide the briefs off, but Spock pushed his hands away. Instead of stripping him, Spock pulled the briefs down from the bottom seam until the waistband rested just under Jim's ass. Jim reached under himself to pull his erection free. He looked back over his shoulder and saw Spock staring at the word "enter," positioned invitingly under his puckered hole. Spock stroked the length of his cock a few times until his long fingers were slippery with his own fluids. Jim bit his lip and watched Spock's face as a wet finger circled gently before easing inside. Spock's eyes were alight, nostrils flaring with heavy breaths as he slid in deeper. Jim reached for Spock's free hand and tugged it to his mouth. He dragged his lips over the top of Spock's forefinger before licking his way back down. Spock shuddered, the finger in Jim's ass thrusting the rest of the way in as his head tilted back. His eyes stayed closed as Jim kissed the middle of his palm. The tip of his nose traced lazy circles around the flesh as Spock slowly remembered to move again. "You ready for more?" Jim dragged his lower lip along the inside of Spock's first and second fingers, letting his tongue trail along the crease between them. "Because I sure am." Spock eased in a second finger. In reward, Jim's mouth closed around the digits he'd been teasing. His tongue licked circles over the pads of both fingers as Spock eased him open. Breathing hard, his lips slid off Spock's fingers. "Fuck, Spock. I've thought of this since Uhura introduced us." "Your handshake was surprisingly bold." Jim ground his hips back against Spock's hand, demanding more. "I knew what I was doing." "Indeed." Jim heard humor in Spock's voice as he eased a third finger in. "Your brother chastised Nyota for introducing us." Jim couldn't help but laugh. "Wait, really?" "He informed her she would never be forgiven if you fornicated with a superior officer in the sciences," said Spock. "No, he didn't," Jim chuckled. "Go on, tell me what he really said." Spock's cheeks flushed green. "Nyota's exact words were that he would never forgive her if you fucked his boss." The bed shook with Jim's laughter. He planted a line of soft kisses down Spock's fingers, gentle and affectionate, then clenched hard around the three fingers in his ass. Spock gasped, his head falling back as a soft moan escaped his lips. Hand me the camera. Spock's voice was shaky as he straddled Jim's thighs. Are you serious right now? Jim looked back over his shoulder, incredulous. I will share this image only with you. Jim paused for a moment, then shrugged. He stretched for the camera and passed it back. As he watched, Spock positioned his thick green erection on the fabric of the briefs, so the head rested just under the word enter. His slicked hand grabbed Jim's ass, fingers sinking hard into the flesh as he pulled one cheek aside to reveal his freshly opened hole. After several quick shots, Spock handed the camera back to Jim, screen bright with the last picture. Yeah, Jim breathed hard. I'll be beating off to that one for a while. Spock stretched over Jim's body. His soaking wet cock dragged between Jim's cheeks, grinding into him. The long, hard line of it lit up every nerve in Jim's body, craving, demanding more. Give it to me already, Spock, he growled. Spock sat back up, straddling Jim's thighs. He felt him line it up, the head pushing teasingly against his wet, stretched hole. Stop admiring the view and fuck me. Jim pushed back onto Spock's cock until the head sank inside. They both gasped. Spock's hands closed on Jim's hips, pulling him up and back until he was on his hands and knees, the briefs still wrapped around his thighs. That's right, Jim hissed through his teeth. Spock eased in with gentle thrusts, stretching him and filling him and flaring something dangerous inside him, like water on a grease fire. Fucking hell, you feel so good. Spock's grip on his hips tightened as his thrusts deepened. Jim panted, one fist bunching in the duvet. I'm no hothouse flower, Spock. Jim looked back over his shoulder, a challenge in his eyes. Fuck me like you mean it. Gaze's lock, Spock drew back until only the head was still inside, then fucked in hard. Jim's head sank down as he moaned, relishing each stroke. Attaboy. One hand latched onto Jim's shoulder while the other clenched around his hip hard enough to bruise. His gentle opening thrusts were replaced with a pounding enthusiasm that made Jim's toes curl. Their thighs slapped together messily, wet and sloppy and real in a way Jim craved, but so rarely received. Each pump sent a jolt straight to Jim's drooling cock. Damn, you're big, Jim panted. I want it all. The hand on Jim's shoulder gently pushed him down until his face was buried in the mattress. Spock stretched out over him, skin a smooth contrast to Jim's flushed, sweaty body. He kissed a line from Jim's shoulder to his neck as he sank deeper and deeper into Jim's body until he bottomed out. Just like that, Jim groaned. I want to feel you tomorrow. Spock's breath was heavy in Jim's ear as he thrust in deeply, insistently. Can you come like this? Jim wanted to lie. Stretch the night out. Make Spock keep pounding beautifully into him, chasing an illusion. The race itself felt so damn good. I'll need a hand, he admitted. Spock's hand latched tight on Jim's hip as he rolled them onto their sides. He pulled Jim's knee up to his chest, an arm draped over the back of Jim's thigh, pinning him in place as Spock's slick fist wrapped around Jim's cock. Spock's tongue danced over the rounded curves of Jim's ears. Jim, he moaned softly. His thrusts synced with his strokes, dragging pleasure out of Jim's body. Oh, fuck, that's it, Jim groaned. You feel so damn good inside me. Want to feel you come. Fucking paint the walls of my ass with it. Spock's rhythm faltered. He growled something in Vulcan into Jim's ear, his fist clenching tighter around Jim's cock. Don't stop, Jim panted. Give it to me. The fist around Jim's dick gave up any pretense of coordination as Spock's thrust stuttered. He pounded in, breath heavy on Jim's neck until his head snapped back with a roar. His hips snapped into Jim's, burying himself to the hilt with one last shudder. It was hot and sticky and messy and fucking good as he spilled in Jim's ass. He panted against Jim's neck for a moment, pulling himself back together before his hand once more closed around Jim's cock. Stay inside me till I come, Jim whispered. I had no other intentions. Spock was done teasing, his fist clenched on just the right side, a painful as he set up a steady, methodical rhythm, efficiently dragging pleasure out of Jim. Spock, he moaned. Spock, Spock. He couldn't stop repeating the name as he felt himself dragged to the edge, panting and desperate, and so ready that when he finally came into Spock's hand, it was almost a shock. They lay together in the cooling room, breathing hard, holding on to one another. Spock, Jim said softly. I want to lay here with you all night, but this blanket is getting clammy with all our fluids. Ah, yes, said Spock. I see the famed human reputation for post-coital romance is well-deserved. Jim laughed and elbowed him in the ribs. Come on, let's get cleaned up, and then I can sweet-talk you all you like. His legs felt like jelly as he rolled off the bed. Somehow, the soaking wet boxer briefs were still around his thighs. He braced one hand on Spock's shoulder, tugging futilely at the briefs with the other. These are totally ruined. The corners of Spock's mouth ticked up in a small, satisfied smile. He pulled them down and waited for Jim to step out of them. Jim took a wobbly step, then smiled mischievously at Spock. I did say I wanted to feel you tomorrow. You are welcome. Spock rolled off the bed with an annoying grace. He pulled off the duvet with one hand and offered Jim his other arm. Jim leaned against him gratefully as they headed to the bathroom. Spock sighed as he stared at Jim's abandoned uniform carelessly tossed on the floor, along with the rest of their gifted clothing. Jim shrugged. You weren't supposed to see that. Spock raised a disbelieving eyebrow. Jim laughed and wobbled into the shower, Spock close behind him. You are very talkative during sex, said Spock. He pressed Jim face first against the wall, cleaning him with an efficiency Jim found oddly endearing. I'm always a chatterbox, Jim relaxed under Spock's ministrations. I was not protesting, said Spock, merely surprised. Jim turned around, still leaning against the wall as he watched Spock clean himself up. He thought of helping, but he liked watching how Spock handled himself. In a good way or a bad way? Spock paused, considering his words. The dialogue was repetitive, but stimulating. Jim laughed. Shit, Spock, are you telling me I need to up my dirty talk game before next time? Spock's eyebrow rose. You desire another encounter. Do you? Jim dragged a finger down Spock's chest, suddenly unable to look him in the eyes. Spock tilted Jim's chin up. Soft lips plied Jim with leisurely, sated kisses. You are here for 8 days. Jim wrapped his arms around Spock's waist. And after that? Spock's eyes twinkled. A frequent and familiar partner would be more efficient than investing time in seducing new and unfamiliar individuals on every shore leave. That's not very slutty, Jim laughed. Your slut era is supposed to be all about variety. Spock licked a line along the shell of Jim's ear. There are a wide variety of ways I still desire you, Jim. Jim's breath hitched. I've got to get Ortegas to send me those seduction videos. Or, Spock kissed a line from Jim's ear down his jaw, lips barely grazing over Jim's, I could demonstrate. Jim melted against Spock's mouth. He had a somewhat exaggerated reputation for a new conquest in every port. The truth was, he put at least 2 months between any repeat encounters with the same person. His first love was space, and he didn't want to risk anyone catching feelings he couldn't return. But he and Spock were both in love with the same darkness, beautiful and unforgiving and infinite and wonderful. Maybe, just maybe, space could share them whenever their ships passed in the void. Hey. His arms around Spock's waist tightened as his lips pulled away. What were you going to send Michael as revenge for those gifts? Spock's gaze darkened as he leaned in to whisper in Jim's ear. Jim's eyes widened. Shit, Spock. That's illegal. Not yet, Spock replied, though I expect that to change promptly afterwards. Jim's hand slid down to squeeze Spock's ass. Or maybe we could go back to bed instead of instigating a major change in Federation laws. For tonight, Spock relented. Jim laughed as they stepped out of the shower. Am I going to have to keep you distracted until you forget that you're mad at her? I have an eidetic memory. Jim shook his head in mock resignation. Right. So I have my work cut out for me. Spock hung the duvet from a ceiling hook clearly designed for this purpose and turned the shower to full sonic. Jim's fingers idly twirled in Spock's chest hair while they waited 2 minutes for the full cleaning cycle. He leaned in, resting his head against Spock's shoulder, and watching in mild fascination as his penis slowly retracted back inside his body until his genital slit closed around it. He could get used to this. Spock would never be jealous of his commitment to Starfleet. He'd never complain that Jim put the mission first. He'd never try to redirect Jim's ambitions anywhere other than command of his own starship. Spock unhooked the duvet and wrapped it around his shoulders. Jim took his free hand and led him back to bed. I'll give you something else to think about for just one night. As they snuggled together under the sheets, Spock rested his chin on Jim's shoulder. Just one night, Scheherazade. I have more than 101 stories to tell, said Jim. This is unsurprising. Spock pulled him close. You talk incessantly through all activities. Jim yawned widely. Play your cards right, and tomorrow I'll tell you how I designed a replicator virus that served Sam a highly rotted onion whenever he ordered his favorite banh mi. Interesting. Spock's fingers lazily toyed with one of Jim's nipple barbells. I am curious what you will suggest the night after. Jim traced the line of Spock's ear. You'll have to stay out of jail if you want to find out. As I said, it is not yet illegal. How did you ever pass Starfleet psych exams? Jim grinned. Everyone thinks I'm trouble, but you're the guy who stole a starship 5 minutes after being given the con. We will discuss it in the morning, said Spock. Computer, lights to 10% illumination. Michael owes me a gift basket. Jim curled up against Spock's side, head on his chest. My sweet ass earned her a reprieve. Spock kissed the top of Jim's head. For just one night. Sure, Jim grinned at him. Just one night. The end.